Good morning, members of the commission, staff, ladies and gentlemen. The planning commission is now in session. Copies of the agenda for today's meeting are in the back of the room in the corner by the door. You can help us expedite today's hearing by following these rules and procedures. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and address clearly for the record. The applicant and those in favor will speak first, then those opposed to the application will be heard. After that, the applicant will be given time for rebuttal, and if necessary, one opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentation or testimony to 3 minutes or less. We'll be using a timer, but if you don't repeat yourself and have some constructive comments, you know, I'll let you continue for the time being. Chair does reserve the right, in the interest of others who have business before the commission, to limit testimony. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with today's decision, you may be able to appeal to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Hill, will you lead us in the flag salute?
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have roll call, please.
Commissioner Arabian is absent. Commissioner Arcero?
Here.
Commissioner Borchardt?
Present.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Quist, absent. Commissioner Whelan?
Present.
Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Here. And I'd like to welcome and introduce our new commission, Commissioner Brian Acero.
Welcome.
Thank you.
The first item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Those items are considered to be routine in nature and not likely to require discussion. We have one item on the consent agenda. It's a first one-year time extension filed by Westside Farmers Cooperative Gin. Is there anyone on the commission or in the public that wishes to pull this for discussion? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Yeah. I'm sorry. I said, is there anyone
here?
I meant in anyone in the public that wishes also to make any comments. Okay, seeing none, then we'll entertain a motion to approve as presented.
I so move that we approve this consent agenda item as presented by staff.
Okay. I'll second that motion. So we have a motion by Commissioner Hill, and the chair seconded the motion to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries 7-0. On the regular agenda, the first item is public presentations. This item is for persons desiring to address the commission on any matter in our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to address the commission? Seeing none, we'll move to item number 2.
Regular agenda item number 2, General Plan Amendment 577 and Amendment Application Number 3871 filed by applicant proposing to amend the medium-high density residential land use designation in the county adopted by Biola, Bullard, Carruthers, Clovis, Del Rey, Easton, Fresno High Roading, Fryant Ranch, Lennar, Layton, Riverdale, Roosevelt, Shaver Lake, and Tranquility Community Plans to allow a density of up to 23 dwellings units per acre, 29 units net, to be consistent with the county general plan's medium high density residential land use designation, and amend the county adopted Biola, Carruthers, Fresno High Roading, Riverdale, and Roosevelt community plans to redesignate 14 specified parcels in aforementioned plans and the three specified parcels in District 1 as medium-high density residential, and amend figure LU-1C to reflect changes made to the land use designation, and rezone within the aforementioned community plans 11 parcels from District 1 and 3 parcels from District 4 to the R3 medium-high density residential zone district, and rezone 3 parcels from District 1 to the R3 medium-high density residential zone district. These modifications are submitted to address the 6-cycle housing element regional housing needs allocation, RHNA, obligation for the unincorporated county, and to update all county community plans to be consistent with the county's general plan.
Good morning, Chairman and Planning Commissioners. My name is Yvette Quiroga, Principal Planner for the Department of Public Works and Planning. Item number 2 for your consideration today is in response to the State of California's requirements to ensure the county meets its regional housing needs allocation for our 6-cycle housing element. For the current cycle, the county is unable to meet its state obligations without the need to rezone parcels due to the lack of available eligible sites to meet the state's new prospective requirements. The Board of Supervisors, in efforts to meet a portion of the county's obligation, approved the rezoning of several parcels in December of 2023. If the Planning Commission recommends and the Board of Supervisors approves this item, the county will have fulfilled the remaining gap and have sufficient land to meet its RHNA allocation. At this time, I have a short presentation. So the 6-cycle housing element has specific requirements. The county must be current in its annual progress reports, which we are. It must have its 6-cycle housing element programs approved by HCD and must also have all the sites identified to meet its RHNA obligation, not just identified but rezoned appropriately to meet the RHNA obligation. There are some impacts if we are not in compliance. There's the builder's remedy where the county loses control of approving affordable housing developments. There's state legal action that we can be sued by the state attorney general. Financial penalties can be given by a court of $10,000 to $100,000 per month. There's loss of local control where we might not be able to issue building permits. And finally, there is funds of the state that we might not be able to access, particularly for transportation and housing. The county's obligation is 2,350 units, and they're broken down by different income levels, and these are the income levels. The rezone is required for our very low and low income units, which total 1,097. There are specific state requirements of the land that we must rezone, that the land must meet in order to be able to rezone it. So parcels must be of a specific size, they have to be vacant, it cannot be prime ag land. Any type of ag land, you must make an analysis that it doesn't impact. Again, they must be zoned residential, and the other thing is the land must have sewer and water capacity, and they must be in what's considered high resource areas. So that's another big difference. The county as a whole and all its cities must actually show that there's the availability of building over 58,000 housing units in the next 8 years. And this was the breakdown. 62% of that goes to the city of Fresno, Clovis was 15, and we have 3% of those units. And here's again just a total of our 2,350 by income group. And for today's action, we are proposing that we rezone a total of 17 parcels. We have 14 in the District 1, which are seen here. And then we have 3 in District 4, which are seen here. I would like to say county staff reached out to the property owners of the subject parcels, informing them of the county's rezone intentions. All owners we communicated with were in favor of the project. This week, staff was made aware of one purported co-owner that indicated they may no longer be in favor, but to date, staff has not received a formal request for the parcel to be removed. Additionally, the county did receive comments from approximately 7 constituents expressing opposition to the rezone of parcel 316-13010, which is located at the corner of Phillips and Jensen. And this concludes my presentation, and I'm available for questions.
Where was that one that the corner you just stated?
That one right there, the corner of Phillips and Jensen.
Okay, when you say that one right there. can you use the pointer?
Yeah, he's using the pointer. Or here, so, the laser one, sorry.
And what are the major cross streets?
Phillips and Jensen.
Jensen and what was
Phillip.
Mm-hmm. And where is Phillip? Clovis?
Near Clovis, yeah.
Clovis
so
Avenue.
It's in the sphere of influence of the city.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying that all the property owners, with the exception perhaps of one, are aware and approved of the application for the rezoning?
We've mailed several letters and we spoke to almost all of the owners. And like I said, every owner we spoke to was aware and was in favor. We did have one that I spoke to this week that said he's not interested possibly, but they did not. He's a co-owner, and they've not specifically requested it be taken off.
Were there some that you did not speak to, some owners that you did not
I believe there might have been one that we did not get a hold of.
And where is that located?
I cannot recall at this time, to be honest with you. I'd have to look at my notes of which one.
Okay.
But it was not one of these sites. It's on the other map. Yeah, I spoke to all of these. Let's see. Maybe the one on Shaw and 3rd. No, we spoke to them. I did get a hold of them. I got a hold of that one. Yeah, I think I might have. Maybe I did get all of them at the end. Yeah, all of those. So we might have gotten all of them. Like I said, I'm trying to recall if there was one. At the end, I found one that was. So I think I did might have speak to all of them. Yeah, I think we did.
Okay. And where is the Biola parcel located?
It's the one on the bottom middle. That one right there.
What is that address?
We don't know the address, but it's Shaw and 3rd.
It's what?
It's Shaw and 3rd, in the corner of Shaw and 3rd Street.
So all those other yellow parcels, are those other ones that are part of this rezoning?
Yes, all the yellow parcels are the ones that we're proposing rezoning.
So the Biola one is south of all those others?
No, this is just a map that we put together that are all in District 1.
Well, it was sort of difficult to follow.
Right, the dark lines are dividing up the map into subparts of the map.
I mean, it was... In the past, we had addresses that went with each parcel, and I would have appreciated that this time because it's easy to figure out where they're at.
Yeah. Some parcels don't have addresses yet because they are just vacant.
Well, I would think every parcel has an address.
No. If they haven't been developed in any way, they've been vacant, and they're not in a developed area, they don't actually have an address.
Okay, you're right, but there's no address. I would think that there's some address that's listed at least nearby or something that we would have been able to have a reference point?
We can do that in the future. I apologize.
Okay. Well, are there any other questions of staff at this time?
I have a question on the properties that near Fresno and stuff. How many are in actually the sphere of influence that will be eventually annexed into the city once they get a tax sharing agreement worked out?
All of them are in the sphere of influence.
Which client or which property owner was a co-owner that said no?
It's the one on the top left, the larger parcel. Where? It looks like a little L, top left.
Right there. And how much acreage is that?
That is 7.4, I believe. or 7.74.
What's currently on that?
It's vacant. All of the sites must be vacant in order to be rezoned.
My question is, in one of the earlier slides, it said it couldn't be like prime agriculture. Mm-hmm. There was some like term about
prime ag land.
Prime ag land. So what is the determinant between prime ag land and agricultural land? Because a lot of these are currently zoned agricultural mm-hmm. uses. So can you describe that?
So we have to show that it's not been, they haven't been using it as ag in the last 5 to 10 years. So we do have to have, we go back and look at photos to see if it's been used. It must be vacant. So if it's being produced right now and it produces so much, then it's considered prime ag land. So most of these, none of these lands are actually being in production in the last 5 years, at least 5 years that we can prove.
Okay.
And when we spoke to the property owners, they confirmed that.
Okay. Another thing that would be helpful maybe in the future is on our reports, as like maybe this sheet that shows each APN, what it's currently existing and what it's proposed. Current existing, you know, some of these, it's easy to tell Agland, you know, you AE20, you can get one housing unit there, right? Or maybe two, one and then an accessory dwelling unit. It would be nice to see what it currently could produce versus what the proposed zoning is, and then how many units could be put there. So we can kind of see, because I think this is something we've gone through, you know, multiple times, and each parcel is in a different place in town, is in a different place in the community. Some places make more sense than other places to do higher density, whether it's on, you know, a more heavily trafficked street, right? All of those things make sense. So I think that would be another point. As I was looking through here, it wasn't clear. It would be a lot of work for me to go through and try and figure out what currently could be built there versus what you're proposing could be built there.
We can do that.
I think that would be helpful for the community too. Is the other question I have is on notices and outreach to the community. It sounds like you've communicated with every property owner whose parcel is, you know, being redesignated. Other than that, what is the noticing that's been done for the community around these parcels? Is it just for, like, is today's meeting?
Today's meeting is the only noticing. The legal required noticing that was done.
Okay. And remind us, like, what the radius was.
It's 600 square feet in miles, and 600 square feet. And then we had almost over 500 residents that were notified.
Is it 600 square feet?
No, sorry, 600.
600 linear feet?
Yeah. But, and I think it was how many, 500 and like nine or so that were mailed to.
Is there any analysis that's done around the services in those areas? Because I know for some areas, it's really hard to put new housing in because there's not the fire services.
That is one of the requirements from the state, that we must show that there is utilities available, which is why most of the parcels are within the sphere of influence of the cities, because they do need to have access within half a mile or less to water and sewer that the developer would have to then, you know, expand those services. So they're all within services. We also try and find things that are within transportation. Public transportation is another service that we should look at, and then schools as well. So yes.
And then the last thing, you did say that you'd received letters of opposition?
We received phone calls.
Phone calls. Okay, because those aren't, so that's all we need to know, is that there was so many phone calls received?
Yes, most of them just called. One or two specifically were concerned with traffic. So that was brought up as traffic and safety for the children.
Okay.
If it was multifamily that was built there.
Okay.
But other than that, they just called to state their opposition and they were not for it.
Usually on the report, it says so many have been noticed and then we had so many responses, whether it was verbally or whatever.
Yes, I believe the report does say how many was noticed.
Yes, so. But they don't say how many isn't, like Commissioner Garver, how many said no.
I said that verbally. That's what I did say in my presentation, that we received seven in opposition. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying you couldn't have put that on this report.
I got the phone calls this week, Monday. So, yeah, we hadn't received
any. Or you could always make an amendment for us and have it on our desk before we start our meeting.
Understood.
Thank you.
When the state makes this requirement, I mean, you went through a list that sounds, they're going to do this and do that if you don't comply. Do they allow for any exceptions? Or, I mean, how do they come up with the number? I think you said Fresno County is 8%. Was that the number you said?
3% for the
three or eight?
3%.
3%.
Of the 58,000 plus.
Okay. Why do they have the county provide something that probably would be better suited in an urban area as far as having services? And I mean, I know that you have to have it near transportation or sewer and water, but that's more in the city. And why doesn't the state allow for that?
Well, they do. The counties are the only ones that do have some leeway. And that 3% number is actually closer to 7 or 8%. And for a year, the cities, the 15 cities and the county were in negotiations, and we reduced that number. So our number at one point was more than double of what we have right now. The city of Clovis and the city of Fresno took on many of those numbers from the county. And there is some understanding if and when those lands get developed, and as you say, they get annexed, those numbers then go to those 30s that they go into. So let's say one of these developments does get built, and it's 100 units just for easy numbers. So that number of the 1,097 will get reduced by 100 for us, and we don't have to report that every year for the 8 years. So the county can give those numbers only to cities, and only counties can do that because of our rural nature, and we encourage building in our partner cities.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Abrahamian.
Morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Members of the Commission, Will Kettler, Deputy Director, Public Works and Planning. Just want to add a couple comments, and thank you, Yvette, for the presentation. Just wanted to clarify, with the state of California on multiple cycles, we've made the case that the county directs its urban growth to the cities. We have general plan policies for that. We've also indicated that some of their directives are in conflict with our Williamson Act provisions as well. Those comments are not necessarily well received by the state of California. So that's comments that I've directly made to the state in past cycles, going back to the fourth cycle. So we are in a bit of a situation where the state is mandating something and we're required to comply, or else we have the outcomes that Ms. Kodeka have noted. Wanted to clarify, somebody made a comment about what is allowed today versus what we're trying to go to with the state mandates on this action. Page 4 of the staff report has a table, and it shows the existing zoning. There's two tables, one that shows the general plan today versus the general plan if this is adopted, and the zoning today is the next table versus the zoning that would be if it's adopted. So that zoning table should help, and I'm happy to clarify which is allowed. For example, rural residential is one unit per 2 acre subdivision. And so we have an AL20 as a limited ag zone, which is a transition zone or a holding zone or a reserve zone for future urbanized use in most cases, or uses a buffer for environmentally sensitive areas. So if you have any questions about that table, please let me know. I'll be happy to answer those questions for you. Okay. But all good comments, and I appreciate those comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I had. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff?
I do have a question. Is there going to be another wave then of similar rezoning to account for future projects that we're going to need to do in terms of comply with the state's mandate? And if so, what is the planning that's gone into identifying these versus others? And is there a more cogent approach to doing that?
So if your board today passes this and our board of supervisors passes it, we will meet our requirements. We have a small surplus, but we are required to annually track those parcels. And if they get developed, and they get developed in a lower number than we proposed, that we said, oh, this 2 acre parcel is going to build 40 units and it only builds 35, then we're short 5. Eventually, we could have to rezone in the future. But at this point, we would be set. We have a small gap that, you know, a small gap that, that not gap, but surplus that'll allow us to go forward for several years, and we hope not to. We will also be tracking what we are building. There could be development that happens outside of these areas, and we will get credit for that as well. So if we have other developments that occur, then we will be able to say we don't need to do that. If we ever fall below what we need, they could decertify our housing element, which is some new powers that they were recently given in the last year or two. So we will have to track it every year and stay on top of it to make sure we don't become decertified.
With respect to these parcels, though, that were identified, is there some notion that developers are already in place to develop them?
No. There are no developers. No one has shown interest in these parcels. I believe the one in Carruthers, the property owner I spoke to there, they were already planning on developing, and they were going to be applying to rezone themselves, so they were very excited that we were doing this process for them. But other than that parcel, there was no interest in development. Some of the owners were one other parcel, actually the parcel of the one that might not be interested in rezone, they've been trying to sell the parcel for years, and they've not had success. So doesn't mean it's going to develop. Historically, we've, you know, the sites we've had in our fourth and fifth cycle have not developed, but it's just we have to show to the state that we have land available to be developed. And we also have to show that we have programs to encourage development, which is what the housing element programs themselves are. But other than that, we are not mandated at this time to build.
Okay, thank you.
Did you have anyone that came forward to the county that wasn't on this list that said they have property that they'd like to include? Either for now or the future?
We went through hundreds of parcels. We've been working on this for over a year and a half on identifying parcels. And so we have had some property owners that have come and said, oh, can you look at my parcel? And we'd be more than happy to do that. We also had one, you know, and I believe we were not able to do that parcel because they were in an area that the city asked us to not include. And so we respected the wishes of the city, and we did not include them. But we had one property owner in particular that did come and ask.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. Considering the housing developments that's, you know, in Clovis or Fresno, have those numbers gone into this mix to meet that demand?
The ones, the city of Fresno gets credit for the city of Fresno. Clovis gets their credit.
It's their credit. So you're working with the rural community, if I can COG.
So we're actually working with only the unincorporated communities. So we can only count Riverdale, Delray, Biola. So the cities, those other cities, San Joaquin, Huron, Parlier, Sangre, they have their own numbers. Yeah. They actually took numbers from us. Mm. So like I said, all of the cities in our negotiations that took a whole year prior to getting to this stage, they all agreed and took on numbers, and they were very supportive.
When is your drop-dead date to have all this done?
It was last December.
Oh, 23?
Yes, December of 23. Oh. So we are right now non-compliant, and the state can come and do these things any day now. The very first bullet called the builder's remedy, we are already in that state right now. So if a developer showed up today and said, I want to build affordable housing right here in the middle of this shopping center, in this empty lot, we have no say, and as long as it's affordable housing, 20% units, the county must let it go through. So we've already lost that power.
On the development in Biola, it said the potential incremental residential capacity is 11 units. But shouldn't it be more than that?
The one in Biola, I believe we had reduced that one. No, it's 20. So I don't understand why
I'm looking at Exhibit 6, page 13.
Page 13. I believe that might have been what the old zoning was, but I'll check. So it was in Exhibit 6. That's the change. So we're increasing it by 11 units from what it used to be. So we're adding an additional 11 units to what it would originally have been.
Okay.
I believe that was a mixed use. That was the only one we had that had, and it was an R2A, and we're changing it to R3.
Okay. So the state's just interested in the number of units. They're not necessarily interested in the number of people that it would supply or provide
No,
for.
They're not interested in the number of people. In the programs that we have in our housing element, they do have specific groups they want us to focus on. They have a really big push for farm worker housing, that they want us to do farm worker housing, disabled, homeless housing. So we do have sites we have to identify for homeless shelters based on the number of our population. And so all of that's in our housing element that hopefully will be coming to you soon as well. But the site inventory itself, we can't dictate what to exactly build. So it's more that affordable housing is considered, you know, multifamily possibly, or higher density housing.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, at this time, I will open it up to the public. If someone wants to come forward, please state your name and address for the record, and you want to reference what property you're talking about.
Yes, my name's Eddie.
Before you start, I want to ask council, is that the appropriate way, or do I ask first if there are people in support of?
Or it doesn't matter? Your prerogative.
Okay, well, probably everyone who wants to comment would have some concerns, so go ahead.
My name is Eddie Rivera. I'm a resident of 5677 East Garrett, where they want to build that project, proposed project. I'm opposed it. For one, there's no, never got a call from this lady, never did. I did get a letter, but never got a call from her. And as far as transportation, there's no county transportation as it is right now. There's none. And also, the traffic is going to be very bad as it is right now. I walked through that street right there on Phillips, and sometimes the cars are 7 deep with additional 39 units they propose. I can just imagine more traffic, and they would use Phillip as a expressway to drive around before getting to Jensen, because as it is right now, Jensen's very crowded in the morning, very crowded, and they would use our street, Garrett, as a driveway to go to work or whatever. And there's wildlife in that area, believe it or not. I occasionally see the red fox. He lives around that area, environmental red fox. He's on the environment, you know, the kind of list where the animals live. He lives around there. I see that guy. And we oppose that area because, this residential, we don't want those type of people in our area, because I know one thing. She said about fire department. The fire department is way over there, Chestnut and Maple and Jensen's way over there. If they ever need services, I can just imagine for them to get the service there, all the traffic is terrible now than it used to be. So that's what I'm concerned about that. And the school bus goes through there. The kids walk through there. No way we can handle 39 units. No way in the world. It'd be a danger to the kids. And we don't know what type of people are going to live there. You know, it could be predators. We don't know. She said Section 8. Who knows? You know, I don't want that kind of people in my neighborhood. So thank you for your time.
Could you tell us, I know it's the property on Jensen Avenue. How far are you from
From Jensen, sir? I'm 2 blocks. Phillips is 2 blocks from Jensen.
Okay, I'm trying to find it on this map.
There's Jensen. The next block is me, Phillips.
Okay.
Garrett.
Garrett. Okay, any other questions of the speaker? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your time, sir.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Robert McCullough. I live on 2562 South Judy. I'm about 300, 400 feet from the corner of Jensen and Phillip. The person that owns that lot has had horses in that lot for most of the time that I've lived in that area. Our area is strongly residential. It is strongly senior. Our property value has gone up significantly in the 20 years that I've lived there. And I'm very concerned about the fact that we might receive a unit that is low income to that area, lowering our property values, as well as bringing more vehicles and cars in the area where we're already dealing with substantial traffic from the olive groves that have been taken out since I've been there. We've had a lot of new building all around us. People are driving down the streets like they're on Jensen Avenue or on Clovis Avenue, and I think this is just going to create more of a problem for us. Now, I personally, I don't have anything against anyone finding a place to live. I don't. I grew up in the projects in Philadelphia. I've managed to raise myself up, and next year my home will be paid for, and I'm leaving it for my children. So I feel very proud of where I've come to. I don't have any problem with people who are lower income because I've been there. Don't have any problem with people who have less than me. But I think consideration for the area that we live in, as opposed to bringing in an apartment building, I think it's a bad move. We have a huge field across the street on the other side of Clovis that for years they've been saying they're going to develop. I don't know what's going on over there. There's other areas I think that they can incorporate this in a better way that would work better mechanically for the residents that would be moving in as opposed to our area. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Hello, my name is Rachel Morrow. My address is 5676 East Garrett Avenue. This is regarding District 4. The address for that parcel is 5707 East Jensen. That's the address for that location. I do have a signed petition by 18 residents in that area. I know some of my neighbors did call in with their concerns, but I would like to read the petition. So it does indicate, we, the undersigning residents of Green Valley neighborhood, formally oppose the proposed rezoning of our neighborhood acreage from medium low density residential to medium high density residential zoning. Currently zoned as medium low density resident zone, which is categorized for land where housing development is intended to be moderately spaced out, typically featuring single family homes or large lots with the density level that falls between low density, very spread out, and medium density, more closely packaged together, residential areas. Rezoning a medium high density up to 23 units is out of character for this area. The reason for the opposition, it impacts our community character. The proposed change threatens the unique character and the charm of our neighborhood, which is primarily single family oriented large county living lots. Green Village County Island neighborhood is just that, country living with city amenities within 2 miles, Increased traffic and congestion would be another concern. Multifamily homes typically lead to an increase in traffic, which can cause congestion on our streets, which it has now, especially with the high school being built around the corner there on Fowler and Jensen. Proposing safety risks to pedestrians and cyclists. Currently, sidewalks and stop signs are non-existent in this area, which would put our pedestrians at risk with increase in traffic in the area, including strain on our local resources as the influx of residents from our new multifamily housing could strain public service such as schools, parks, emergency services, which is currently limited in that area. We are currently adequate for our community's size. While Sangre Unified, you know, just has a new high school, next year they're going to build a middle school. The elementary school is also stretched to capacity. Let's see here. Property value concerns. The introduction of our multifamily residents may negatively impact our property values in our neighborhood, affecting homeowners, investments. Majority of our houses around the proposed rezoning area are lived in by homeowners that have been there for maybe 15, 30 years. We purchased with the knowledge that our properties surrounding us are medium, low density residential zoning, bringing multi-units to this 1.3-acre lot would affect the current property value for all of us, or all the residents. And access. So in that area, there is limited access, so there is no public transportation in that area. There's limited, there's not access to restaurants, restaurants in a sense.
Would you be able to pass the petition around and we can, for the record?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have more to finish?
No, I just have one, but that's what I wasn't sure. But it's signed by, I think I said 19 or 18 homeowners in that area. And this location is right catty corner on Johnson and Clovis, across the street from Simonian Farms. They're all, so it's kind of, it's known as Green Village. It's in those single level, 2 acre parcels in there. And that's kind of, that's like the end of Fresno. It's, you know, that's like the original Sunnyside, I guess I would say in those words. If you guys are, you know, have ever grew up in the Valley. So yeah, those are all, have all, you know, so just to put apartments or, you know, units in that area is just, I don't know, ridiculous, I guess. I don't know what words to say. It's just okay. a character. And, you know, again, we bought, you know, purchased these property lots, you know, being outside in the country. That's like the end of Fresno, I guess you would say, for many of us, you know, the end of the county line, away from, you know, a lot of, just the end of the county.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? What we'll do with the petition, we'll circulate it, then mm-hmm. staff will have it, and they'll have it in the file.
Okay. On that petition, I don't know if I put the address for that parcel. I just stated the address, but it's the one on, but it does say Jensen. I think it does say parcel 11. I have to look at that again.
I think staff will note that. They'll know okay. which one you're talking about.
Thank you.
Is your name on here as well?
Yes.
Okay, very good. There you go. Next speaker.
Good morning. My name is Angel Gonzalez. I'm at 5676 East Garrett. I live about approximately two homes down from that parcel. And I actually walked the petition around yesterday and went from home to home. And there was a lot of residents that couldn't make it here today that wish they could make it. So they signed the petition, not in favor of it, due to, like she was just saying, Rachel Moore was just saying, you know, transportation, no public transportation out there. We don't have a park for kids. Kids are still doing the old-fashioned way, playing on the street, riding their bike, walking, and that would cause a safety issue if you put 23 units or more there because of the congestion. And we just want to leave it residential. I mean, it's a weird location to put apartments or 23 units to rezone that in a different matter. I think the people before me, I think they covered most of it. So we're against it.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Anyone else to speak regarding this issue? I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for a discussion. I'd like to ask staff a question. In the past, when a similar item came up, there was quite a bit of opposition regarding one or two particular areas, and we were able to separate that from the motion to forward on to the Board of Supervisors. Can we do the same thing here if the commission so chooses?
I believe so, but we can have our council.
Yes, as you did, I think it was last year, you guys did something similar. You could approve the motion as recommended by staff with the exception of removing a particular parcel from the plan.
Okay.
And it would go on to the board with that recommendation.
Comment?
Yes, your motion, depending on the will of your commission, can negate certain parcels from recommendation for approval. Staff will take the entire package, noting your planning commission's action and direction on that issue.
Okay.
So I believe last time, I think there were last November, Yvette, was it two sites that I think were problematic?
Yes.
And neither one of those were cleared by the board. So we took forward your commission's direction on that.
Well, I think in this case, since, you know, we had well-organized presentation by those with concerns, and they expressed their concerns very well, I believe, and their legitimate concerns. I think I would I'll wait to hear from other commissioners, but I would support pulling that APN. That's 316-130-10. The site address was 5707. I'm going to say East Jensen. It didn't say a direction on my my sheet here, but I think we all know which one we're talking about. And the if the commission is so inclined, the recommendation on page 2 would be to approve. I guess we could say, well, maybe I'll just make a motion, and then we can have discussion and go whatever direction the commission wants.
Recommended motions are on page 10.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking at the recommendation, but you're correct. It is page 10. I just have to find it. So can I just move to adopt the recommended action as presented by staff with the exception of that one parcel, and let me get the number again, on East Jensen Avenue. Yes.
316-130-10.
Okay. And this is a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. So there's a motion with the parcel number that I'd like to pull. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so the chair made the motion. Commissioner Zante did the second.
I have one caveat.
Yes.
In the recommendation on page 2, it didn't carry over to the recommended motion on 10. If you could please add, recommend the board accept the addendum to the EIR that was certified with the adoption of the general plan review in February of 2024. That was on the top of page 2, but did not get recopied on page 10.
Okay. I would include that. Commissioner Zante, are you okay with that? Okay, so that's included. Is there any discussion?
We'll still be within the staff or state guidelines?
Yes. Yes, we will still have a small surplus if we can take that site off.
Personally, I don't think the state has any business in telling us how to zone these things, but that's my own personal opinion.
Okay. So we'll just ask for a voice vote. We had a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so this motion carries. It'll still go to the Board of Supervisors, and the board will get our recommendation, but I think it's important that if you still have concerns, that you show up to the board meeting or at least present your case there. Because the board can vote however they see fit as far as, you know, whatever information they have.
Mr. Ibrahim, can I ask, did you guys make copies of this? Okay.
Okay. The petition will be part of the staff report for next time as well. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for your time and coming. And we'll move on to the next item.
Do you want to restate that for clarity so they'll understand?
Did everybody understand that, or did you need further? Okay.
You want it restated, how it's going to go to the supervisors about deleting that, pulling out that one parcel? Did you guys understand that?
Yeah, okay. So there's nothing for them to appeal. It is still going to the board.
Correct.
With
and
that.
It's going next week. Next week, Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Yes.
So there won't be any notices. Any re-noticing or no?
No, not to the neighbor.
They received them already for the board hearing already.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. The one is postponed, so we're going to item number 4.
Regular agenda item number 4. Unclassified conditional use permit application number 3718 and initial study number 8168 filed by Craig Richard Constance proposing to allow modification of mitigation measure number 2 by changing the operational term from 20 years to 35 years. Modify the language in condition of approval number 3 regarding the dedication of right-of-way and allow 3 400 square foot storage containers on site. The project allows construction, operation, and ultimate decommissioning of a battery energy storage system on an approximately 11.3 acre portion of a 37.56 acre parcel in the AE20 zone district and interconnection to PG&E Sanger substation.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. Ijaz Ahmad with the Department of Public Works and Planning. Approved by the Planning Commission on May 18th, 2023. Unclassified conditional use permit 3718 allowed construction, operation, and ultimate decommissioning of a battery energy storage system consisting of lithium-ion-based battery modules housed in a purpose-built metal enclosures with integrated power generation equipment, fire suppression system, and transformers. Mitigation measures and conditions of approval were adopted with the certification of the initial study number 8116 for the project. The subject proposal proposes to modify the mitigation number 2 of the for the life of the project, modify condition number 3 for the dedication of right-of-way, and allow storage containers on site. No other changes are proposed to the approved CUP or conditional use permit 3718. This is an aerial view of the subject property. This is the area which has already been approved through CUP 3718, and the project site is located at the corner of McCall and Jensen Avenue. The PG&E Sanger substation is across from the street. This is the approved site plan for the project. And this area, this red area, shows the proposed storage facility, the containers that they asked for. This is one of the mitigation measures that we talked about, mitigation number 2, which is being replaced with the existing mitigation measure from 20 years of life to the 35 years of life, which is right here mentioned in this statement. And this is the revised condition of approval. The condition was revised to provide with a better language for the condition, and everything else remains the same in the condition. Pursuant to the zoning ordinance, the project shall meet 4 conditional use permit findings. Finding number 1, size of the shape of the parcel is adequate to accommodate the proposed use. Finding number 2, street and highways are adequate for use. Finding number 3, no adverse effects on surrounding properties. Finding number 4, the proposal is consistent with general plan. In reviewing the application, staff believes all 4 findings, required findings discussed on page 3 and 4 of the staff report can be made. Therefore, staff recommends your commission determine that the proposed amended mitigation measure for the adopted mitigated negative declaration for the project based on initial study number 8116 is equal to or more effective than the previous adopted mitigation measure. Approved modification of the mitigation measure number 2 by changing operational term from 20 years to 30 years. Approved modification to the language described in the conditions of approval number 3 regarding dedication of right-of-way and approved site plan with storage containers. This concludes staff presentation. I'll be happy to answer any question related to this agenda item.
Thank you, Ijaz. On the top of the front page, it says initial study 8168. Is that just a typo, or did I miss
something? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a typo here.
So it's 8116, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the right number.
Okay. Then on the agenda also, it's 8116.
Yeah, it is 8116 is the right number.
Okay. Any questions, staff?
Yeah, I have a question here on Exhibit 7, page 4, the cost of decommissioning. Who was this New Leaf Energy who thought this up?
What page you are looking at?
Exhibit 7. Decommissioning estimate, yeah. Right?
Correct. And the power pole, is that a removal of a regular tall power pole or a small power pole? What is that? It's not mentioned.
Probably I will defer this question to the applicant. He is here. He can speak a little bit more on this.
If I might, excuse me, if I might add, the estimates for the reclamation, which get vetted and finalized when it goes to the board for their acceptance of the reclamation agreement, are presented by the applicant and is prepared by and signed by an engineer. But there's a lot of latitude in there because most projects are at like a 40% design stage, et cetera. So the minutia sometimes gets a little vague. But in terms of the broader strokes, the scale of the estimate is what we're looking for. It's not in a real easy exact science, but you do have professionals reviewing, preparing it. The county does review it to the degree we can, and then again, it finally gets accepted by the board. So unfortunately, there's not something where we can go down and do an itemized cost analysis on each element because we simply do not have that level of expertise. And again, these are estimates of what's going to happen, and there is always a change depending on what occurs in the next 35 years. There is a COLA involved in the agreement so that the same earning or equivalent dollars in present day dollars are available at the end of that, but it is a broad stroke. It's not very finite in terms of the evaluation.
From my experience, it's very low. You couldn't even get the guys to show up to work for that much money.
So. Could be, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
One more. Can you go back to the map showing where this is?
You go away.
Can you go back to the map?
Map, okay.
Okay, so this map shows it on the south side of Jensen. Is that correct?
The property location, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to the... No, the north side of the Jensen.
Oh, north side of Jensen. Oh, Jensen's way below. Okay, it's I saw the Jensen line across McCall. The top there, and I thought that was Jensen. Okay, thank you.
And then the applicant has to have a bond or something with regards to the decommissioning expenses?
It's actually a little more aggressive than that. They have to actually put the cash up in an escrow account with a bank. It's not a bond. It's not a letter of credit. It's something gives our developers a lot of heartache, but it is a very secure financial assurity that we have. So that we can execute that if it happens. The intent is not for the county to do the reclamation. The intent is to have the applicant do it. So that's why there's no salvage value allowed, et cetera. But we all know that if I'm tearing something down, I'm going to sell all the aluminum and metal and anything else I can get. So, but it is secured, again, with cash through an escrow agreement with a bank. there is a limited access agreement that allows the county to enter onto the property and execute it if so needed, and that's recorded in perpetuity. So it's a fairly secure thing. It takes quite a bit of time to put it together and get executed, usually about 4 months, sometimes longer. So it is a significant effort to make sure that we have some surety down the line that when the project is completed, that it goes away.
Can they put the money in an account which would generate interest, or does it just sit?
Unless they got a really bad bank, hopefully they get interest. Unless the bank isn't given, we don't control the interest. It bears interest.
I'm just thinking of, there have been instances where you could buy a plan and the money that the company gets, they put it in an insurance policy. Uh-huh. And I didn't know if that's an option, or, I mean, it's their business, but I didn't know if it's...
That's up to the bank and how they want to structure the instrument. Again, though, it is... We enter into an escrow agreement with a bank where we simply issue a demand letter and there's no appeal or further negotiations involved in it. It is simply similar to having cash on hand. The reason we don't take cash itself is there are certain limitations in state statutes about holding on to that type of money without, it just doesn't fit some of the state statutes, so we have to do it through this mechanism. But it's far more secure than a bond or a letter of credit, which takes a ton more work. I've done them. They're horrible.
Any other questions of staff?
Yes. Is this close to the Sanger substation? Isn't there a substation?
Yeah, there
close
is.
Close to there, I've noticed, and I've driven by.
Yeah,
it's owned by whom? PG&E?
Yeah, it's PG&E.
PG&E substation.
Is this, how far are the railroad tracks from this, all this?
Railroad tracks.
Somewhere in McCall.
I can't tell for sure. It's not shown on the map here.
Across McCall, but I'm just.
We can ask the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you, Jess. Would the applicant come forward, please?
Good morning, Commission. Good morning, Chairman. Thank you for talking, or letting me speak, and thank you, Ajaz, for the presentation. Here today to request the operational period be extended to 35 years from the 20 years, as stated in mitigation measure number two.
Please sorry. Get your name and address, too, please.
Sorry. My name is William Paragoy, address 92 Tucker Ave, Portland, Maine. So, yes, we're requesting operational period to be extended to 35 years, along with a few storage containers to be located on site. The reasons for these two requests, we have in discussions with PG&E regarding this project. In discussions with them, there is the opportunity for the project to be extended to 35 years of lifespan. We do have a lease with the landowner for 20 years. It does include 3 5-year option extensions, so up to 35 years. No other changes will be to the project. Additionally, as we work with some operation and management folks on the project, we learned that they like to have these storage containers on site for ease of use of any spare equipment parts to be stored on the site. They'll be stored in these Connex-like storage shipping containers. They'll look very similar to the battery storage enclosures. So just really for storing parts on site, so we don't have to bring them to the site every time there's equipment needs to be swapped out and so forth. So that's all I really have today. I'm open to any questions that anyone may have.
Originally, when you had the 20-year, when we approved it for 20 years, was that the anticipated life of the system, or can it go, apparently it can go more than 20 up to 35. Can it go more than that?
So the lithium-ion batteries naturally degrade over time. So to go longer than 35 years, we would have to swap out pretty much all of the battery storage containers themselves. So I guess it's feasible if in the future wanted to swap out all of the containers. But we'd also have to get a new lease and all of that. So it's not anticipated to at this time.
Well, you need to swap out the batteries for the 35 years?
So in our original application, we included what we call augmentation space. So not all of the containers will be built at first, and they'll be brought, concrete pads and everything will be constructed at first to be in place for it. And then, say, 10 years down the line, when some of the batteries have degraded and we're losing, so it's a 200-megawatt site and we're starting to lose that power rating, we'll bring in some extra batteries in those augmentation spots to keep the power level at 200 megawatts.
Any other questions of the applicant?
William, when you put in these storage containers, where are they going to be? Behind Jensen Avenue? Because that's a heavily trafficked road and it's really not.
We're circling there with those reds where we proposed them. I've been told they're preferred to be kind of as close to that, what we call collector substation, as possible for ease of use. But we have some flexibility of where we can put that on our site.
So they won't be close to Jensen for like an eye. I'm not going to say an eyesore, but
yeah. So Jensen's all the way to the south.
Have
so
citrus around there.
Yeah, it'll be off McCall Ave,
and right by the substation.
Correct. Yeah, in between our project.
To the west of the substation.
Correct. In between our battery yard and the substation across the street.
How far is the citrus from your station or the growth on that property?
Sorry, it's a citrus.
Across the street it is, but I thought, what is to the west of that property?
To the west is the substation that we would be interconnecting our project to.
Okay, then further, because there's ag all around there.
To the east and to the north, there's ag.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to the north, across the access road is ag, and into the east as well is ag, mm-hmm. And to the south, so it is surrounded by ag.
I don't think that doesn't take up the whole block, does it?
No, there's, so our project, if you can see, there's some existing transmission lines. Mm-hmm. So our project will be to the north of those transmission lines to our northern kind of project boundary. And then the remaining project area is not within our lease, so it'll be owned by the landowner. And I think, I don't know what his plans are for it, but.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
So I just heard you say you're not going to go and expand the project then, because you just had that.
No, the project is not going to be expanded.
Okay. And I did see where it is $25,000 a pole that you have down here.
Correct. And, we're in discussions with PG&E right now how to interconnect. So there's a chance that it gets co-located on their lines, right? So they have existing transmission lines. So we could put lines on their existing power lines. We wouldn't have to take out poles, or we build our own poles and we'd have to.
Yeah, that's still a little low, but it's
yeah,
close.
We'll have to fine-tune that number as we
all right.
finalize that agreement.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to speak in support of this application? Anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and the motion. Motions are on starting on page 5.
I'll move the recommended motion by staff.
Okay. Commissioner Zante made the motion.
Second.
As per staff. And we have a second by Commissioner Borchardt. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 7-0. Next item.
Regular agenda item number 5, classified conditional use permit application 3773 and initial study number 8461 filed by Tommy Tran, proposing to allow the addition of a 3,854 square foot workshop building for religious activities to an existing religious facility on a 2.5-acre parcel in the RR Zone District.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the Planning Commission, Ijaz Ahmad, Department of Public Works and Planning. The existing religious facility, Buddhist temple, permitted by conditional use permit number 3478, includes a 3,939 square foot religious building, on-site parking and ingress and egress off of McKinley and Blythe Avenue. The proposed 3,854 square foot workshop building will provide additional space to be used for the religious education and group activities to learn new skills. No additional parking or on-site or off-site improvements are required. All existing improvements will remain in use by the temple. This is the location of the property. The property is located at the corner of McKinley and Blythe Avenue. This is the existing site, as you can see there in the photograph. This red square or the rectangular box is the proposed workshop building. And this is all the existing parking. This is the existing temple building. And there is a City of Fresno boundary line here in red that you can see. And this is the existing school site across from Blythe Avenue. This is the proposed site plan. Everything that you see here is all existing, except this thing which is proposed, and that's the proposed workshop building. It's a typical floor plan for the workshop building. There is no kitchen or the restroom facilities included in the site plan. This is just a shell building, basically. And this is just an elevation of the proposed building. Pursuant to the zoning ordinance, the project shall meet four conditional use permit findings. Finding number one, size and shape of the parcel is adequate to accommodate the proposed use. The street and highways are adequate for use. No adverse effects on surrounding properties. The proposal is consistent with general plan. In reviewing the application, the staff believe that all four findings, required findings discussed on page 5 through 12 of the staff report can be made. Therefore, staff recommends your commission adopt the mitigated negative declaration prepared for initial study number 8461 and approved classified conditional use permit number 3773 with the included mitigation measure and conditions of approval. This concludes staff presentation. I'll be happy to answer any question.
Thank you, Ijaz. Are there any questions of staff? Did you get any public correspondence?
No, sir. Not at all.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is the applicant here? Would like to come forward? State your name and address for the record, please.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. My name is Tan Nguyen. I reside at 7549 North 8th Street in Fresno, California, 93720. I am a Buddhist temple follower. I'm not consultant engineer. He has an emergency, family emergency, cannot appear today. Sorry about that. And generally, I will answer on your questions. If it's too technical, I will try my best. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the staff recommends approval, and you're familiar with the conditions and what the staff report says, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you agree with the staff's report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any questions of the speaker? Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. May I say something, sir?
Certainly.
Thank you for your time, for considering the project. And the temple, especially, appreciate the help, the guidance of Mr. Ahmad, the partner. We appreciate that. And would be our honor to have you, commissioners, one time you have a time to stop by to visit our temple. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else to speak in support? Is there anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, and I will bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Motions are on page 13. Well, I will move to adopt the recommended, or I will move to approve the recommended motion as per staff. Okay, any discussion? So we had a second by the chair, and Commissioner Carver made the second. No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 7-0. Next item on the agenda.
Regular agenda item number 6, amendment application number 3874 filed by Reno Development LLC proposing rezone to change the zoning of a 17.75 acre parcel, a 5 acre parcel, a 2.47 acre parcel, and an 18.9 acre parcel from the AL20 zone district to the RR5 zone district.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Alexander Pretzer, Department of Public Works and Planning. Amendment application 3874 proposes to rezone approximately 44.12 acres from the AL20 zone district to the RR5, 5-acre minimum parcel size, zone district. The subject parcels are designated as rural residential in the Fresno County General Plan. On February 20th, 2024, the Board of Supervisors approved GPA 526 and amendment application 3862 that included the addition of policy LUE24 that changed the land use designation of parcels identified in figure LU4 of the general plan to rural residential with a 5-acre minimum parcel size. In that same motion, they changed the zone district from AE20 to a holding zone district of AL20. The board provided additional direction to staff to include APN 300-32019S to the general plan policy and figure. Subsequently, the board approved general plan amendment 574 and amendment application 3867 on August 20th, 2024, changing the land use designation and zone district of APN 300-32019S to match the other parcels. Staff recommends approval of this application as all findings can be made. The requested zone district is consistent with the general or with the goals and policies of the general plan. The proposed zone district would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, convenience, or general welfare of the county. The site is physically suitable in terms of design, location, shape, size, operating characteristics, and the provisions of public and emergency services to ensure that the proposed zoning designation does not constitute a hazard to properties in the vicinity. And then staff is available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. I had a couple questions, Alexander. Looking at the existing zoning map on Exhibit 3, I understand that the board did do their rezoning back in February, I think you said, wasn't it?
Current portions that are designated AL20 are reflecting that amendment approved by the board in February. The amendment approved in August is that parcel 19S that's currently showing AE20. Okay. Unfortunately, our systems are a little behind in updating to AL20.
So the parcel north of the light green that on our map shows AE20, it's AL20?
Correct. It is AL20.
Okay. All of that is then, right? As far as Exhibit 4 that shows a lot of residences already developed or a lot of parcels already developed to the south, well, still in the, I guess it'd be north of Reno. Were those developed prior to the zoning or, I mean, was it AL20 when those, were they already there?
You're referring to the portion, just north of Reno Road?
North of Reno Road. Exhibit 4, there's a half a dozen single-family residences, 5-acre parcels, roughly.
Those would have existed before the Board of Supervisors did the rezones and general plan amendment.
Okay.
Or approved, my apologies.
So those, I mean, those were in an AL20 zone district, and now the request is to change that as well to rural residential, correct?
Those parcels that already have the residences are not included in this application. Those parcels would have been rezoned to AL20 as part of that February 20th motion.
Okay, I see what you're saying. when the board, all right, so the 17.75 acres, I guess that's what I was referring to that before was AE20.
Correct. That was AE20 until that August 20th board hearing.
Okay. And those other parcels were already established in the rural residential ones?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm clear now. Any other questions of staff?
These, the last two, the ones that were done in August, were those amendments to the general plan?
Correct. That specifically parcel 19S, which is the one that is currently showing up as AE20, mm-hmm. that was a general plan amendment and a rezone. So that included the changing of the land use designation and the zone district to match what was done in February.
Okay. And which one of these I'm trying to, is Albury Road?
It is that thin green line located to the east of the subject parcels. It cuts up from AL20 through the AE20 broader area.
Oh. What number are you on there?
Exhibit 2.
Kind of work. It's kind of a star, but it's this green line here. There we go.
Right there?
Correct.
Okay. So that parcel that was amended goes right before you go up Albury Road then, more or less?
Correct, by the looks
developed.
Of it.
Developed, okay.
Just right at the, there's a small parcel that is not, it's on the east, sort of in the middle, but it's on the east side where it says vacant on exhibit 4.
Yes, it's an extremely small parcel that is not included in this.
What is there? Is there a reason it's not included? Just, is it a different property owner or?
I don't know the property owner off the top of my head. I just know it is not included with this application.
I mean, do you know the size of that parcel? Or is
I
it
do
just
not.
Very small?
It's small enough where it won't show up on the map.
Okay.
This is a difficult one.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Thank you very much. Is the applicant here? Would come forward, state name and address for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Hal Lohr of Lohr Engineering. I'm at 1508 Tollhouse Road. And I'm here for any questions that you have, but just to tee off on that last question on that small parcel that's to the north. So I believe that it was associated when Big Leone Road was developed. There's mostly 20-acre parcels up there, and there appears to be a small gate parcel where the gate access is controlled to Aubrey, and it's not part of this application. So.
Okay. You obviously agree with staff?
Yes.
Any questions or comments you would have?
No questions or comments, just here to answer yours if you have any.
Okay. Are there any questions of the applicant? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to speak in support? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and the motion. The motions are on page.
I have one more question for staff.
Okay, we are open again.
Sorry.
That's all right.
In this rezone, because it's allowing for more housing to be built in this area, do those numbers count like towards the RENA number of available land that can be developed for housing?
I'm not the expert on it, but because there's different categories, okay? So it obviously is not going to, because the density is not high enough, so it's not going to count towards low income, which is where you have most of the problem of meeting it. But it will probably count towards the medium or higher categories, which usually is not an issue of our inventory.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I'll close the public portion of the hearing. Motions are on page 9. You have a motion? Discussion?
I'll move the recommended motion by staff.
Commissioner Zante made the motion to approve as per staff.
I will second it.
And Commissioner Whalen made the second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 7-0. And the last item is the information and discussion item.
Nothing from staff other than to again welcome Brian to the fold and look forward to having a full commission to deliberate.
Okay. When's our next meeting?
Potentially it'll be on the 16th of January. However, currently there's some question whether or not we'll be holding it, whether or not the item tentatively scheduled will be actually ready. We'll let you know. If not, it'll go to the 30th.
Okay. Thank you. We're adjourned. Everyone have a good Christmas. Thank you.